Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Ayin. We left off on Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis. We are right after the Teku, bottom line, Ba'i Rabbah. Today's show is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landrieu, an honor of his wife and children, and the Nishmas, his mother, Golda Vasimcha, the Shalom, the Neshama, should have an Aliyah. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First of all, we're going to talk about whether we follow the Iker or the Tosefes when you have something that was in an initial state and then it was replanted and it grew some more. So the Iker or the Tosefes when it comes to Miser purposes. And we're going to try three different comparisons to try to figure out what the din would be when it comes to Miser. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if you replant Tevel. You take grain, you already finished the entire Miruach, the entire processing of the grain, and then after it becomes Chayv and Trumas Maisers, you then go and you replant it. Can you designate that which is in the ground currently as Truma? Then the Gemara is going to talk about what level of Iser there is for planting Klayim in a flower pot. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to tell us the Dinim of Chala, is going to teach us that the Dinim of Chala and Chadash only apply to the Chameshes Mine Dagan. And the Gemara is going to tell us, oh, where do I know that from? Oh, we learned it from Chamitzu Matzah, that it only applies to the Chameshes Mine Dagan, and that's our daily dose of Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag. Then the Gemara is going to have four possible halachos for which we say that the five grains are mitztarif to one another. The Mishnah says that all these five grains are mitztarif to one another. Legabe what? So we're going to have four different possibilities. Then on the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to try to understand the machlokas, whether chadash becomes mutter at the ktsiras ha'omer or the hava'as ha'omer, when they're actually makriv, the carbon omer. So there's some sort of machlokas about that, but the what exactly they're arguing about is not abundantly clear, and that's going to be the last conversation on the daf. So let's pick up again. We're on the last line of the page on daf samach tes amud beis. Boi rabba, le'inyan maiser mai. When it comes to maisros, do we follow the ikar or do we follow the tosefes? So it says, hechidami. What exactly is the case that you're wondering about? Let's say you had a case of a person who harvested his grain and he didn't thresh anything the tvor yet, and he therefore had to take maestros based on an estimation because he has no idea yet exactly. Mekubetzis points out that the Gemara Dafka says he does it ba'omed because while it's still b'shibolim, it's not possible to know exactly the volume of the actual product of the actual grain that you have. It's still in the stalk, so he has to estimate. Okay, so he takes maestros based on an estimation, and then v'shaslinu, and then he replants it back into the karka v'osifaluhu, and it grows even further. So what's the din of those shibolim as far as trumas and maestros? Im timtza lomar that lo azlin and basar ikar v'tosefes by yisurei ikar mai. Now, if you're going to assume that as far as our previous suffix that we left as a teku, if you're going to assume as far as that question was concerned, that we don't follow the ikar, that the tosefes does not is not nimshach after the ikar, and that just because the ikar already had mice was taken from it, it does not mean that the Tosefes is already covered, and you're therefore going to have to take maestros from the Tosefes. But now what's the din of the Iker? Is the Iker Nimshach after the Tosefes? Now that I know that you're going to have to take maestros from the Tosefes, do I now also need to take maestros again from the Iker or not? So the Gemara says, let's try to compare this to other cases that we know about. And we're going to have three potential comparisons, and we're going to reject all three. Amle Abayi, so Abayi says, oh, Maishna mikol chiti usari da'alma. Well, isn't that the case whenever you plant any grain? Meaning, how do you plant grain? You take a seed, so and you take a kernel, and you plant it. Well, where did that kernel come from? That kernel came from some previous harvest that already had trumas and maestros taken from it, and now you go and you replant it, and it grows into something. And we don't subtract from the cheshbon of the maestros how much volume there was in that kernel of grain or in the various kernels of grain that you planted in the field. No, you take maestros from everything that grows. So apparently the ikar does follow the Tosefes. So Amalei, Rava says back to Abaye, that's not a valid comparison. I didn't have a shaila about something that when you plant in the ground, it totally disintegrates and it becomes part of the ground. I'm talking about something that when you plant in the ground, it's still intact. It's still there. It's just growing bigger now. You have these shibolim, you have these stalks, and then you took maestros from these stalks, and then you put the stalks in the ground, not seeds, not kernels. You put the stalks in the ground, and then the stalks grew bigger, so they're still there. So my, that's what my suffix was about. That has nothing to do with a regular case of planting a field. So says Mar, okay, let's try something else. Let's try a different comparison. Tifshalei mehada amar Rabbi Yitzchak amar Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe we could be poshet the suffix from that which Rabbi Yitzchak says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that litra batzel shetikno. If you have a litra of onions that you're mafresh chumas and maisos from it, so you already took chumas and maisos from this litra of onions, and then you plant it in the ground so that it grows more, whatever comes out of it, you're misaser based on everything, both the ikar and the tosefes. And over here we're talking about litra batzel, so you know exactly what you had initially, you know exactly the measurement that you had originally, and still we're not allowed to subtract that from the chesh of what grows. You have to take maizos from everything. So don't you see, even by davar she'ein zaru kala, when you put an onion in the ground, it does not disintegrate. It's not zaru kala. And nevertheless, you have to go and take maizos again from the ikr. So don't you see that the ikr follows the tosefes? So says, no, it's still not a good comparison. Because hasam hainuz riyaso, when it comes to onions, that's how you plant onions. That's the normal way to plant onions. And therefore, you take maizos from everything. But hachalav hainuz riyaso, but when you put full stalks of grain into the ground, that is not the normal way to be zorea tavua. The normal way to be zorea tavua is to take garine chitimu sa'orim and to put that in the ground and it becomes zarukala. So that's not what you did over here. You took full stalks and you put it in the ground. So in such a case, maybe we still have a suffix that maybe you don't have to take maestros maybe from the ikr because the ikr is already covered. So says Gmar, let's try a third comparison. Meaning we have a similar shaila that maybe we can compare to this shaila, and that is if a person was mafresh shumas umaisos from that which grew in an atzitz she'eino nakuv, in a fully closed flower pot, on that which grew in an atzitz she'eino nakuv, is the afrasha going to be chal or not? Well, ilo nakuv, halo nakuv, what kind of shayla? If we're talking about an atzus sheinu nakuv to take shumas maisos on an atzus sheinu nakuv, so it's mina pater ala pater, of course it's gonna be fine. You didn't do anything wrong. What would be the problem with that? So it says, no, dilma chazav nikvo ka'amrit. No, probably what the shayla was is if you have an atzitz that was sheinu nakuv to begin with, and then you punctured a hole in it. So a person planted grain in an atzitz sheinu nakuv, it grew a little bit, the grain grew a little bit, and then after some time, he put a hole in it, and it continued to grow. So now the shaila is, do we say that the Tosefes is not Nigrar Achara Iker, and it's Chayiv in Maisos Min HaTorah, but do we say now that the Iker is not Nigrar Achara the Tosefes, and the Iker is also Chayiv in Maisos Min HaTorah, and therefore you could be Mafrish from the Iker on the Tosefes, because they both have the same Chiyuv, or maybe no, maybe the Iker is not Nigrar Achara Tosefes, that the Tosefes is chayiv in maisos min haTorah because it grew while it was an atzitz nakuv, but the ikar is pater maisos min haTorah because it grew in an atzitz she'eino nakuv, and therefore you're not allowed to be mafresh from the ikar that grew in an atzitz she'eino nakuv for the Tosefes that grew in an atzitz nakuv, because that's being mafresh from the chiyuv ala pater. So Abai is saying that comes along Abai and he says, you know, that's not really a suffix either, because that's pashut that the ikar is nigar achar Tosefes and it's chayiv min haTorah, and you can't compare this to Rava's suffix about a stalk of grain that you already took maizos from and you replanted it, because halcha chadas riyahi. When it comes to the atzitz nakuv, it was one planting. You planted it once. You altered the flower pot somewhere in the middle, but you planted it once. So chburi yidugu mechabra viola. At the time that you punctured the flower pot, the zriya has now been completed, and and all of the roots that have grown to that point continue to grow. So therefore, the ikar is also considered to have been planted in atzitz nakuv, because it's a hemshik of the planting. When you put a hole in the flower pot, it's one act, is viewed as one long act of planting. So that's why it works in that case to be mafresh from that which grew in the atzitz nakuv, on that from that which grew well in the sheinu nakuv, and that which grew afterwards when it became nakuv. But in Rava's shayla, shtei zriyos ninu, there were two acts of planting. You planted the grain, it grew, you were mafresh shumas amaisos from it, then you replanted it and it grew some more. So those are obviously two separate acts of planting, and that we're not sure about. Do you take maisos again from that which you had originally taken maisos for, and then replanted? So at the end of the day, Rava had a suffix, and the Gemara didn't have a resolution to that suffix. The Gemara thought of three different cases that we might be able to compare it to. None of the comparisons really work, and therefore we do not have a resolution to the suffix. Next suffix. By Rabbi Avo, Shibolas Shemircha Bekri Ushasala V'Karala Hashem V'Mechuber Mahu. What if you have grains that were harvested? Not just harvested. You went through the entire processing of the grain. You piled it up, and you did the miruach, which is the smoothing out of the pile. And when you do miruach, that's when it becomes tevel. That's when it becomes chayiv in trumas u'maisos. And then after it became chayiv in trumas u'maisos, it became tevel. Then you replanted it in the ground, and you kor hashem trumas u'maisos while it was mechuber in the ground. So now it's replanted in the ground. You say, oh, I got to take trumas from that. So that's truma. That's meiser on the stuff that's in the ground. So mahu, is the afrasha going to be chal on that which is mechuber lekarka? Kiven de mircha tavlala, kikara l'ashem kichola. Do we assume, well, once you did the miruach hakri, it became tevel, and therefore you, anything that's tevel, you could be kore shame on that which is tevel, even though there's a drush in the sifri, very mosim imen trumas Hashem, that you're not allowed to be tore mina mechuber. That's talking about when it was never, when there was never a chi of hafrashas truma yet. But over here, it already became chayiv in hafrashas truma while it was talush. So the fact that it's currently mechuber doesn't bother us. Oh, Dilmor, maybe not. Maybe kiven de shasla pakalei tavla mina. Maybe once you replanted it, so now it's no longer tevel. It loses the status of tevel, and if it loses the status of tevel, you cannot be mafresh trumas or maestros. Shidim Wetzes writes that it's, we're not saying that according to this tzad that the shem tevel is completely gone and that it's mutar ba'achila, because the halacha is that the gidulim are tevel, meaning that which grows from it doesn't need a reprocessing in order for it to become tevel. How do I know that? That's a sugi maseches pesachim dav lamed dalid, that if a person plants tevel in the ground, so if it's zara kala, the gidulim are mutter. If it's something that when you plant in the ground, the seed disintegrates, so then the gidulim are regular gidulim. But if it's ain zara kala, even the gidulim are aser. If it's something that doesn't disintegrate in the ground, anything that grows from it is going to be aser, is going to have a status of tevel. And over here we're talking about where you replanted a shibolus, you replanted a stalk, and it's not zarokala. So we assume that the shame tevel is still going to be there. So says Rishita Mukbet, says what we mean to say over here is that we should view it as if it never had a din of tevel after it was detached from the ground, and mela the din of mimena v'lomena mechubar is still going to exist. That you cannot be kori shame trumas or maestros on it. However, the Dvar Avram brings a raya that the Rash Mishantz in his commentary in the ninth parak of Maseches Trumos holds that the shame tevel is completely gone from it. That it even becomes mutar ba'achila according to this tzad. And he says that he wonders why does Rabbi Avo say the suffix only whether it's chal truma on the shibolus. He should have had a suffix whether it's asur ba'achila or not. Meaning if it mamish means that it's not tevel at all, so say that. Why are you only talking about whether you could be korei shame truma on its mechubel karka while it's mechubel karka? You would have a much bigger nafkamina. Are you allowed to eat any of it? Right? Is it tevel? So that's a little bit strange. But the pashas is like the Shita Mukbetza says that the whole suffix over here is that since it already became tevel when it was talush min hakarka, and now I put it back in the ground, can I now be korei truma on it while it's in the ground? So the Gemara says, I don't know what the problem is. Amalei Rabban Labaye, the Rabban said to Abaye, how could it be that you could be korei shem truma on something that's in the ground? Imkin matzinu truma b'mechubi l'karka. If that were true, then you would be able to take something that's mechubi l'karka and call it truma. Utnan, but it's an afna mishnah that lo matzinu truma b'mechubi l'karka, that there's no such thing as truma on that which is mechubi l'karka. So the Masoret Shas says, afna mishnah, my job is to find the afna mishnah is that the Gemara quotes, and I don't see any mishnah or brisa anywhere that says that there's no such thing as truma on mechubi l'karka. What do you mean utnan? There's no tnan. There's no mishnah that says this. So Nukei Hagriv points out that Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos Daf Yud Beis says that it's the derech of the Shas to be mekatzer some of the Mishnayos, to paraphrase some of the Mishnayos. So it doesn't always quote exactly what the Mishnayos say, but it quotes the basic idea of the Mishnayos. So that's what it's doing over here. There is no Mishnah that uses these words, that lo matzinu truma b'mechuba l'karka. You're not going to find those words in the Mishnah. But the idea you'll certainly find in the Mishnah, and he points out that the Mishnah in the first part of Maseches Trumos Mishnah Hay says that you're not allowed to be mafresh truma min hamechubar al hatalush. So you don't find this. So apparently that's telling us that there's no such thing as truma on that which is mechubar lekarka. You have a Mishnah in the second part of Maseches Bikurim that Bikurim are nikna b'mechubar lekarka, masha ein kein b'truma. That something can become Bikurim while it's mechubar lekarka, masha ein kein b'truma. So that's pretty clear that by truma you don't. So the mitzvah and says it's not a mishnah, it's a sifri in Parshas Korach where it says that truma cannot be chal on that which is mechubal karka. Okay, or the Karen Ora says it's a sifri that says mimenu v'lomenu mechubar. There are all sorts of ma'amari chazal. That's what we're talking about. That there are all different sorts of statements in the Tanaim that point in this direction that which is mechubal karka cannot be truma. So how can you, Rabbi Avo, raise a safek that if you have that which is tevel and then you replant it in the ground, I'm not sure, am I allowed to be koreshem truma on that which is currently planted in the ground? What do you mean? You can never have mechubal karka that's called truma. So Amalei, so Abaye said back to them, Ki tanya hi, that price that says that there's no truma b'mechubar, wherever it may be, is leading in yichuv v'misa v'chomesh. That's only talking about whether you chayiv misa b'dei shemayim if you eat truma b'mezid, or you have to pay the keren v'chomesh if you eat truma b'shogeg. That they, legabe, the punishment of eating truma when you're not supposed to, so that we say you're never going to be chayiv for those particular punishments, either misa b'dei shemayim if you did it b'mezid, or keren v'chomesh if you did it b'shogeg. If you're only going to be chayiv if you ate the truma betalush, not if you ate the truma b'mechubar. And there's a technical reason for that, namely the italush va'achil, that if a person detaches that which is mechubar karka and it has a shame truma and you eat it, well then talushu, then it's talush, it's not mechubar. The igachin va'achil, and if the way you eat it is that you just bend down and bite it right out of the ground. And that's the way you're eating truma that's mechubar lekarka. Well, batel daito esel kol adam. What no normal human being eats that way. And therefore, it's you can't be chayv misa and chomesh for eating a truma bil mechubar because it's not the derech achila at all. So if you eat it that way, you would never be chayiv. So that's why it's not going to be subject on a technicality. It's not going to be subject to the dinim of truma. That's what it means that there's no truma b'mechubar. It doesn't mean that nothing that's mechubar l'karka can have the status of truma. It can have the status of truma whereby when you then harvest it, it is truma. It just you're not going to be chayiv for eating it while it's mechubar. The Tavur Shah writes that Rashi Masech HaSukkah says that if a person eats an esrog b'mechubar, ein lecha tolesh gadol mizeh, that if a person eats an esrog off a tree while it's still attached to the tree, that's a violation of a melach of kotzer on Shabbos. Because ein lecha tolesh gadol mizeh. So Tzvi Shar says that you have to say that there's a difference between what's called derech achila versus what's called derech ketzira, that it is not so as abnormal to eat a fruit off of the tree, and that would be a violation of kotzer midaraisa. Whereas when it comes to an isra of achilas truma, it's so abnormal to eat in this way that would not be considered a derech achila. So the Gemara asks that we said if you eat truma b'mechud l'karka, you're potter because it's so unusual, it's so not the normal way people eat. Umayishna, why is this any different than midichsiva pinkasa de ilfa, from that which we found in the notebooks of ilfa? Ilfa was the old chavrusa of Rabbi Yochanan, is an interesting figure in Shas, a big Talmud Chacham, that Beitzi Nivlas Ha'of Hatar, he had in his notebooks that if you have a kosher bird that became a nevela, just dropped dead, didn't have a shechita, and inside the bird you find eggs, miktsasim b'chutz, miktsasim b'fnim, but you have a beitza, you have eggs that are somewhat inside the bird and somewhat outside of the bird, meaning the bird was mamish in the middle of laying an egg and just dropped dead in the middle of laying an egg. So mi bifnim, if you eat the beitzim from inside of the bird, I mean you stick your mouth inside the body of the bird and you eat out the beitzim mitam begadim abesabliya. You are eating a nevela sof tahar, and when a person eats a nevela sof tahar, it's when he swallows it, he and the begadim that he's wearing become tameh mi bachutz. But if you eat the part of the egg that's outside of the body, ein matam begadim abeis avliya, that is not considered to be eating a nevelas of tahar, and therefore you're not going to be tameh, and your begadim are not going to become tameh. What do you see from there? That if you eat them inside the bird, you become tameh. Who eats that way? Apparently, we don't say batel daito etzel das chaladam. I'm sorry. Apparently, we don't say that it's ein derech achila bekach. We say that somehow, even though you don't eat that way, that's considered to be a real eating. So over here also, when you eat off of that which is mechuber lekarka, that which is mechuber as the status of truma, you should be chayiv the keren v'chomesh. You should be chayiv the misa b'dei shemayim if you did it b'mezid, because it is something that's considered an achila. So says Marano, talush avidi and shidach liachi. When something is part of a bird, it's not so unusual to like dig into something and eat out whatever it is that you're trying to eat. It's not mechuber lekarka, but mechuber loavdi and shidachli. But that which is mechuber lekarka is very unusual to eat. That's still considered shaloka darach achila. So essentially, the Gemara said, who eats that way? That's also not darach achila. The Gemara's answer is, nah. You know, you've seen stranger things at restaurants, right? That people sometimes eat that way, but you just don't see people out in the field just biting things off of the ground. That would be an ein derech achila. Okay, Amar Rav Tzvi ben Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Hazareh klayim batzit sheinu nakuv aser. If a person plants klayim in a flower pot that doesn't have any holes in the bottom, you're not allowed to do it. Meaning aser means it's an isra midrabanan. It's not an isra of being zoreh min haTorah. I would understand very well if you're telling me that you get makas mardus when you plant a not shein no nakuv, so you're telling me a chiddush. Ela aser my kamashman, but just to tell me that it's aser, that's not really much of a chiddush. To midrabanan have yisriya, what you're telling me that midrabanan planting in a not shein nakuv is considered to be planting? Tanina, that I already know. That's a mishnah that tarum min mishein nakuv al nakuv. Truma v'yaksu v'yitrom, that if a person is mafresh truma from that which grows in a closed flower pot to cover that which grows in a flower pot that actually has holes in the bottom and is really mechuber lekarka, it has the status of truma midrabanan, but you need to take truma again because it didn't really work on a doraisa level. But from there you see that which is planted in the closed flower pot is considered to be planted midrabanan. So there's no great chiddush to tell me that if you plant klayim in a closed flower pot that you violated nisa drabanan. That's called zareya. That's called planting on a drabanan level. If you want to tell me a chiddush, you get makos martus midrabanan. Okay, that's a chiddush to tell me that we're actually going to punish a guy for doing such a thing. Okay, new mishnah now. The five grains are what's chayiv in challah. Only when you make a dough out of the five grains do you need to be mafresh challah from it. And then mitzarif with one another for the shear of challah. So there are a number of halachos that relate to the five grains, right? In terms of the chiyuv of challah, the iser of chadash, which we're also going to talk about in the Mishnah, the iser of chametz, the mitzvah of matzah. So all of these dinim relate to dafka, the five grains. Va'asurim b'chadash m'lefnei ha-pesach. These five grains, you're not allowed to eat from the new grain until they bring the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach. Umiliktzar milefnei omer, you're not allowed to harvest these new grains until the omer either. So we're going to have to see what that means, until which part of the omer. So imishrishu kodem leomer, if these grains took root in the ground before the korban omer, ha-omer matiran, the omer is what's matir them to be eaten, meaning they are considered the grains of the previous year, if they took root in the ground before the korban omer, and then the omer will be matir them. But if you had just planted them on Erev Pesach or whatever, 2 days before Pesach, and they had not yet taken root, the korban omer is not going to be matir them. You're going to have to wait till the following year's korban omer in order to be matir them. Avim lav asur nad sheyavo omer abba, if they didn't have time to take root in the ground by this year's korban omer, you're going to have to wait till next year's korban omer to be matir these grains. So tada. Kusmin min chitim. Kusmin is a type, is a subcategory of wheat. Shibalashul v'shifon min sa'orin. And shibalashul and shifon are subcategories of barley. So even though there are five types of grains, there are really two categories of grain. One category has two items in the category. The other category has three items in the category. And that leads you to a total of five grains. So kusmin is gulba. Shifon is Dishra. Shibalashual is Shibalitala. So the Gemara just identifies what they were called in those days. Not all of them are we so 100% clear. Oats is a little bit of a discussion, whether oats are considered to be one of the five grains or not. Traditionally, we always assumed yes. There was some research that suggested perhaps not. So that's what, you know, so it becomes a whole to-do because a lot of people are gluten-free and oats have much less gluten than other types of grains. And certainly you can't make matzah out of something that's not a grain. So sometimes it's a person's only option. So they rely on the tradition that it always was assumed that oats are one of the five grains. But chaps nafkaminas, do you make a mizonos on Cheerios or do you make a adama on Cheerios? Right? If oats are one of the five grains, then you'd make a mizonos on Cheerios, right? So what exactly is, okay, so that's a discussion. But hani in, oriz v'dochen lo. One thing is clear, that these five grains, they're chayiv and challah, but oriz v'dochen are not. When it comes to rice and millet, meaning anything that's not one of the five grains, that's not a real grain. You can make rice bread, you can make rice, everything. But that's not a grain, and therefore it's not going to be chayv and challah. So minani mili, how do I know that those grains that are not one of the five grains are not, that quinoa is not chayv and challah? So how do I know that? So Reish Lakish asil lechem lechem mi matzah, because we learn lechem lechem from matzah. Ksiv hacha, it says legabe lechiv from Prashas Chala, Vayu Ba'ach Lechem, Mi Lechem Ha'aretz, Uksif Hasam, and it says, Legabe Matzah, Lechem Oni. So since the word Lechem is used to describe both of them, and we know that Matzah can only come from the five grains, Memela, you're only Chayv to be Mafresh Chala, on that which comes from the five grains. Says Gemara, who told you that matzah could only come from the five grains? Meaning, where do I know that that's the case? So we learned in a brisa by Rabbi Shmuel, the chen tam de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omar Krab, because the pasuk says, Lo socha lalav chametz, shivas yamim tochalav matzos lechem oni. So in the same pasuk, you have a hekish between the isra of achilas chametz and the mitzvah of achilas matzah. And therefore we learn, Dvarim habayim lidei chimutz, adam yotze ben yidei chavasa bepesach. Only those things that can lead to chametz, that can become chametz, only that can be matzah. Matzah means that there had to have been danger of chimutz, that there had to have been a real danger of chimutz. Only that can be matzah. Yatzu elu shein ba lidei chimutz, el lidei sirachon, as opposed to these grains that are not ba lidei chimutz, and they only get to sirachon, which is some type of destruction of the grain, but it doesn't fully become chimutz, and therefore you're not going to be able to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with it on Pesach. So, okay, umitztarfen zeh imzeh. We then said that the grains are mitztaref with one another, that the five different grains are mitztaref with each other. So, tana tvua v'akumachim v'abitzekos mitztarfen zeh imzeh. And not only that, the grains and the flours and the doughs are all mitztaref with each other. You have a little bit of a grain, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of raw grain, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of dough. It's all mitztaref together. So the Ma'ihil said, mitztaref together for what? Legabe, which halacha are we talking about that there is some level of tziruf over here? So says Gemara, four possibilities of what tziruf we might be talking about. Possibility number one, Amar of Kana, Le'inyan Chadash, when it comes to the Isra of eating Chadash before the bringing of the Karban Omer, that if a person ate Chadash, but it was it wasn't a full kazayis of one type of thing, he ate a little bit of grain, a little bit of flour, a little bit of dough, and all together it equaled the kazayis, that's mitztarif, and he's therefore going to be chayv malkus for eating this Chadash. Second possibility, Rav Yosef Amar, Le'inyan Chametz Pesach. As far as being chayiv for eating chametz on Pesach, that if you ate a little bit of flour and a little bit of dough and a little bit of grain, you're chayiv for eating chametz Pesach. Wait a second, you have a little bit of grain. How could you be chayiv for eating chametz Pesach on grain? Grain is only once you grind it, it becomes flour. Then you combine it with water, and then it could become chametz on Pesach. How could a grain become chametz on Pesach? So grain can also become chametz on Pesach if it sits in water, if it's moistened, meaning that can also become chametz. So grain that is washed or that is wet is also going to subject to becoming chametz. If it becomes becomes wet when it's mechuber lekarka, it does not become chametz. It has to become wet when it's mechuber lekarka, otherwise it's never going to grow. So obviously it's a lot of rain on the fields from which they harvest the grain. But after it's ready, talish min hakarka, and then you and you thresh it, and you have the kernels, and those kernels sit in your chalent. That chalent is going to be chametz when you take barley and you put it in the chalent. That's absolutely chametz. So that's what it means, that it's all mitzdarif with each other as far as the chiyuv of chametz on Pesach. Third possibility, Rav Papa Amar, leaning ma'aser sheni dach lechutz l'chol malaki. As far as the isra of eating ma'aser sheni outside of Yerushalayim, halacha is ma'aser sheni, you're allowed to eat, you can enjoy it to your heart's content, but only inside of the old city of Yerushalayim. So if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you're going to be chayiv. So let's say a person ate a little bit of seed, a little bit of flour, a little bit of dough, of ma'aser sheni, all outside of Yerushalayim, and in combination, it equals a kazayis. So he's going to get malchus for that combination, because it's all mitzdarif with one another. Then the fourth answer, Rava Amar, lenient tumas ochlin. It's as far as the halach of tumas ochlin, that if a person takes a little bit of grain, a little bit of flour, a little bit of dough, and altogether it's a sheer kibetza, because the sheer of tumas ochlin is bekibetza. If a person, only a sheer kibetza of food can become tamei tumas ochlin. Machlokes Rishonim, whether it means can become tamei tumas ochlin, or can be tamei other things with tumas ochlin. But whatever it is, there's a sheer kibetza for tumas ochlin. And it's telling us to tavua ukmachin dumyu debtsekos, that we compare the din of grain and flour to the din of a dough. Mahasam uchla be'ene, just like when it comes to a dough, it's a full-fledged food. So afachanami, so too when it comes to the grain and the flour, they're not mitzayv tumas ochlin unless they're uchla be'ene, unless it's a full-fledged food without a mixture of something that's psoles or that's not food. Let's say you have the kernels of grain that are still in the shell, so that's that, or it's got subin, or it's got mixed in with the flour, that with the flour there's still bran mixed in with the flour, so you have inedible parts, then it doesn't have a status of an ochel. So as far as the tzira for tumas ochel, these three things are mitzdarif with each other, but they all need to be pure. They all need to be pure food. If there's any sort of impurities mixed in with them, then it doesn't have that status. Now the Tzom Kachem explains that the reason Rava needed to say this chiddush, and he didn't say the more, you know, all the other first three shitos were about that. What is the chiddush? That they're all mitzdarif with each other. Rava says, oh no, you know what the chiddush over here is? As far as tumas ochlin, that they have to be pure. That just like a dough is pure, so too the others are pure. Why not just say that the chiddush is that they're mitzdarif with each other? He says, yeah, because there's a beferish of Mishnah Maseches Meila that all ochlin are mitzar from zeh imzeh legabi tumas ochlin. So legabi tumas ochlin is no chiddush that flour can mix with dough, can mix with, because legabi tumas ochlin, apples can mix with oranges. I mean, everything could be mitzar with each other. You could have multiple ingredients in the same dish, and it's all going to be mitzar with each other when it comes to tumas ochlin. So that can't be the entirety of the chiddush. So there has to be some additional chiddush that's being taught by this brisa when it says that there's a tzir. So it's telling me that there's only a tziruf if it's pure, but if it's but if there's impurities in there, then it's not a tziruf. Karen Ora raises the question, what are these Amoraim arguing about? Why does each one pick a different chiddush? L'chori, each one could have said the other one's chiddush, meaning that there's a tziruf between all these grains. Bein l'gabe da halacha of chadash, bein l'gabe da halacha of chametz bepesach, bein l'gabe da halacha of ma'aser sheni, bein l'gabe da halacha of tumas ochlin, right? And not only that, I can give you other cases in halacha the Karen Ora says where they're mitzvahed with each other. Legabe Tevel and Truma and Orla and Kalayim, there are all sorts of halachas where you could say that they're all mitzvahed with each other. So he says that the Amoraim were all bothered what the chiddush is in saying that these things are mitzvahed. Why wouldn't they be mitzvahed? See, each one picked something that had its own unique chiddush. Rav Kahana said that the chiddush is legabe the dinim of chadash, that the din is that if a person eats a kazayis of tevua and another kazayis of kemach and another kazayis of dough, that he gets malchus for each one because they each have a separate lav. Lechem v'kali v'karma lo sochelu. So dough is lechem, the garine tevua is kali, and the flour is caramel. So therefore, one might have thought that they're not mitzdarif with each other. So kamash mulan, that they are mitzdarif with each other, even though the three separate los says in the Torah. Rav Yosef says the chiddush is gabi chametz on Pesach, because even though the reason for chimutz in tevua is not the same as the taste of the chimutz in the tevua is different different than in the kemach, and it's different than in the dough. Nevertheless, they're mitzdarif. And the Gabe and Rav Papa, who says that the chiddush is Gabe Maaser Sheni, that Karanora says needs some work to try to figure out what exactly the chiddush is within that opinion. And then this last opinion, Rav is the easy one. Rav tells you what the chiddush is, that any impurities are going to take away the possibility of tziruf, that tziruf only happens when it's in pure form. Okay, so the Gemara brings a raya from a brisa of Tanya. We have a brisa that says, chita, bein klufa, bein sheinu klufa mitzarefes. If you have a wheat, whether it's peeled wheat, whether the grain is peeled or not, it's mitzaref because it's edible either way. Sa'ora, but barley, klufa mitzarefes. If it's peeled, then it's mitzare for tumas ochlin. But sheinu klufa, ein mitzarefes. If it's not peeled, then it's not mitzaref because then it's not ro'i l'maychal adam. So even though it's not mitzaref the sheer, not only is the klipa not mitzayif to the shir kabeitza, the ochel inside the klipa is also not mitzayif to the shir kabeitza, Rashi points out, because the klipa is a hefsik. So that's the chiddush over here, that it's not mitzayif. So frankly, Gemara Eini, is that really true? V'atanan d'vei Rabbi Shmuel, but didn't the Tanan d'vei Rabbi Shmuel teach us, I'll call zera, when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, it says, I'll call zera zeruah asher yizareya. So we learned that Tumas Ochlin is noheg by garine tevua, kederek shebnei adam motzil lizriya, the way that people would plant it, chita bikli pasa, that the wheat in its shell, and saora bikli pasa vadashim bikli pasa. That's not only the chita, that even the saora in the klipa is subject to tumas ochlin. So apparently it's still mitzdarif. Don't tell me that it's not mitzdarif. You see that it is mitzdarif when it comes to tumas ochlin. So says Mar Lo Kasha. There's no stira between the brises. Each one is talking about a different case. Ha, the brisa of the Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel is belachos. It's talking about moist klipos, that they are mitzdarif to the garin for the shir kabeitza for tumas ochlin, whereas ha viyaveshos, whereas the other is talking about where it's dry klipos, and they are not mitzdarif to the shir kabeitza. Rashi says either because moist klipos are have a din of a shomer hapri, because they'll really protect the pri, whereas when they're dry, they'll just fall away, and they're not going to be a proper shomer hapri. Or more pashpshat, I thought, was that moist klipos are royal l'maychal adam, they're edible, and therefore they're part of the pri, whereas if they're dry, they're not royal l'maychal adam. V'asurim b'chadosh m'lefnei ha-pesach. We said that these five grains are asurim chadosh before Pesach. So minan imili, how do I know that? Am reish lakish asi lechem lechem mimatzah, because it says by the yisur of chadosh v'lechem v'kali v'charmer lo sechol. And it says by matzah that Shavuos Yom Tochal Matzos Lechem Oni. So we see that just like matzah, it applies to the five grains. The Yisur Chadash applies to the five grains. The Litzot Vnei Omer. We said you're not allowed to harvest these five grains before the Karban Omer. Minani Mili. How do I know that that's true? That it's usher to that the only these five grains are usher b'ketzira before the Omer. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Asya Reishis Reishis Michala. It says by a Karban Omer Ve'vesimus Omer Reishis Ketzirchem, and it says Michala Reishis Ariso Seichem. So since they both have the word Reishis, and we know Chala only applies to the five grains, the Yisur being Kotzer before the Omer also only applies to the five grains. Yeah, but my kodem la omer. What do you mean before the omer? Before what part of the omer? Rabbi Yona omer kodem ketzirasa omer. Before the harvesting of the grains for the carbon omer, which happens on the night before the matzoy yom tov rishon shel Pesach. Whereas Rabbi Yosi bar Zibda omer kodem havas omer. Before the actual bringing of the carbon omer on the second day of Pesach. So Tanan, our Mishnah said, Asurin b'chadosh l'fnei ha-Pesach. You're not allowed to eat chadosh before Pesach. V'liktzor l'fnei omer. You're not allowed to harvest before the omer. Well, bishlam l'man diyamer kodem ha-va'as omer. If you're telling me you're not allowed to harvest before the bringing of the korban omer, hainu d'lo karv l'vatanilu. Now I understand why you don't say it all together as one big halacha, because they're two separate dinim, the Yisra of Achila and the Yisra of Ketzira. El l'man diyamer kodem ketziras omer. But according to Rabbi Yonah, that holds that the Yisra of Achila is before the Ketziras Omer, but once you did the Ketziras Omer, now you're allowed to eat the new grain? So then the Mishnah should have mixed it all together and should have said that Asurin b'chadosh v'liktzar lifnei ha-Pesach, that you're not allowed to eat the Chadosh nor harvest the Chadosh until such time comes that your kotzer are the Omer, that you do the Ketziras Omer. If that were the case, it should have been in the same line in the Mishnah. So why are they separated in two lines? It makes it sound like these are two different halachos. That you're not allowed to be kotzer the new grain until the Ketziras Omer, and you're not allowed to eat the new grain until the Havas Omer. So says Mar, you're right. Eli Itmar, Asefa Itmar. If we're going to say this machlokas about whether it relates to the Katsira or the Hava'a, it must be going on the second half of the statement. That in Mishrishu Kodam Lomer, Homer Matiran. That the second line in the Mishnah said that if it took root before the Omer, then this year's Korban Omer is going to be Matirin. Took root before which part of the Omer? My Kodam Lomer, when did it need to take root to still get under the gun for this is still get under the wire? They make it for this year's Omer. So Rabbi Yona Omer, Kodam Hava'as Omer. Rabbi Yona says it's before the Hava'as Omer. Rabbi Yosef Azivda Omer, Kodam Ketziras Omer. But if it took root after the Ketziras Omer, even if it was before the Hava'as Omer, they would not become Mutar Bachil until the following year's Karban Omer. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up on the bottom line. Amalei, Rabbi Elazar. Everyone have a great day.